Good morning. Today we have two scripture readings for you. The first is out of Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 2 and 9 through 12. Hear the word of the Lord. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. And they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. John 3:16 to 18. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son to the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Today we're going to look at the third and fourth candle of Advent. Of course, we got messed up a little bit when I was sick that one day. And so we've sort of combined some of them, but I want to talk about all of them because all of them are important for peace, hope, joy and love is what this time reminds us that we can celebrate. The advent of Christ coming in the past was a great and more marvelous thing, but Advent is supposed to be for us today a time to look forward to Christ's second coming, to where he is coming again. And when we see him in that time, it will be beyond what you can imagine. When we look at the word joy, there are two Greek words for joy. And I'm not going to give them all the Greek words and the Hebrew words this week because there'd be a lot to do. And I was figuring, y'all don't want me to preach extra long today. Did anybody want me to? I keep hoping. Why do I ask? The two Greek words talk about seeing joy or goodness both on the inside and on the outside. The Hebrew words for joy translated are come up with things that we do with our body. Again, the Hebrew language has more of a what we do with our body, more of a wholeness about who we are. And it talks about what we do with our lips, what we would do with our lower body, like if we're dancing or moving around, with our upper body, and with our expressions, with our face. How many of you can know that sometimes you can just look at someone and you can see joy in their life? And then you look at some people and you're thinking, are you preparing to be Ebenezer Scrooge? Because you've got the look. You know? Now, somewhere some people you can understand, if you're in a lot of pain or something's going on, having a joyful look is just hard to do sometimes. But we have in Christ the possibility for joy. The thing about joy in both Hebrew and Greek, it has to do with relationship. In the Hebrew specifically, the words for joy are in connections with weddings, birth, coronations, and in all the Old Testament feasts, the people were to celebrate with joy. And when we look at our lives today, I'd have to say that joy comes from connection with a relationship, especially when we are in a right relationship with God. It brings joy. It brings gladness. If anybody who has had a great relationship with a spouse or with somebody, when you know things are right with you and them, other things aren't quite so bad. Yes, they're going to be hardship, but you can look at your loved one. I've done this in the past. But at times we've been facing hard times, and I looked at my wife. We're okay. We're going to make it. That joy comes because why? That relationship is going to make it. C.S. Lewis, the British writer and author, theologian, scholar, apologist, known for his books, Mere Christianity, Screwtape Letters, The Chronicles of Narnia, and many others, took readers on a spiritual journey through his early life, eventually to embrace the Christian faith. In his book, Surprised by Joy, Lewis begins with his childhood in Belfast, surveys the broad years of school, his youthful atheism in England, and reflects on his experiences in World War I, and ends at Oxford, where he became, in his own words, the most dejected and reluctant convert in all England. But he recounts his life's search for joy and the fact that joy is what led him to God. In Deuteronomy chapter 12, in many of the Psalms and other scriptures, there's this joy, this good feeling, the contentment of knowing that since God has given us his law, we're like, how is the law good? Because we know now how we can be in right relationship with God. If you don't know how you can make things right, you find a, you know, kind of lose your joy. Going back to that marital relationship, if you've done something incredibly stupid, you know, like forgot your wife's anniversary, which has a your anniversary too, which is the problem and why you're in so much trouble, you're like, how can I make this right? Well, don't you wish there was, guys, you should just ignore this part. Don't you wish there was a guideline that says the three simple ways to make it right always with your wife? It doesn't exist. I can give you this much. I'm sorry. I was wrong. What should I do? Go with that, and that's the best thing I can give you. And that's not going to take care of it. Oops. Don't want to knock over Dennis's tree. But when that relationship's not right, something's wrong. Why does God, the Bible say that the law can bring us joy? The Bible can bring us joy? Because it can show us how we can have that right relationship with God. And when we have that right relationship with God, we can have joy. But joy, peace, and love can't be isolated in our lives. I don't really think we can have joy if we don't have peace, if we don't have hope. And to have that, we have to experience love. Which brings us to the scripture that most all of us, I think, probably have memorized or at least heard once or twice. John chapter 3, verse 16. That God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And I'm going to quote it in the King James, though I have it written down in the NIV because I learned the King James. His one and only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God loved us. He wanted that relationship made right so that we could experience love, so we could experience peace, so that we can experience joy and hope. Israel trusted other things, but it always fell apart. When we think of love, Hebrew and Greek has four different words for love. In America and in English, we only have one word for love. So I love pizza, and I love my wife, are not the same, though it's the same word. But the deepest form of love found in the Bible, for both in the Hebrew and in the Greek, is the one we know in the Greek really well as agape, this unconditional love. We read about Isaiah chapter 40, verse number 6. It says, a voice cries out, cry out. I said, what shall I cry out? All people are like grass, and their faithfulness is like the flowers of the field. How many realize that as human beings, we mess up? We're not always faithful. In fact, the word faithful there, faithfulness, has its root in the Greek, in that Hebrew word of unconditional love. And let me tell you something. Human beings, we're bad when it comes to unconditional love. Because we normally, we have conditions on our love. If we're going to love somebody, we want something else in return. And so the human ability to love unconditionally, when hard times come, it kind of fades. And God knows that. God knows in ourselves we can't love in that way that really matters. Yeah, when it talks about God, it says, though the mountains be shaken and the hills be removed, yet my unfailing love for you will not be shaken, nor my covenant of peace removed, says the Lord, who has compassions on you. And though this is speaking of God's covenant with Israel, it's also God made a covenant with the world and says, no matter what happens, I love you. I love you. I've been a bad person. I've done horrible things. I still love you. I don't love what you're doing, but I still love you. And I'm going to love you forever. And that's God's love. It's the love that God wants to put in our hearts, because it's a love that can endure. It's a love that can bring hope. It's a love that can bring peace. It's a love that can bring joy. As we stand without Jesus, we are condemned. The scripture says that. In John chapter 3, verses 16, right after it says, if those who have not received him are condemned already. See, without Jesus and without his love, we don't have hope. Not real hope. We won't have real peace, and we don't have true love. But Jesus came to build this new relationship. Because we can't do it on our own. We mess up. We fail. But Jesus came so that we can have this new relationship. A relationship built on love with him and what he has done for us. And that's one of the things when we celebrate Christmas. It's not just the fact that the baby was born. It's what that baby was born to do. That baby was born to grow, to become our example, to become our sacrifice, to become God's proof of his love for us. Because it wasn't just God sent his son. God sent, in some miraculous way we don't understand, God died on the cross. God took our place to show his love for us, to rebuild a relationship that was broken. Christmas is a time of love. We talk about love for mankind and love for one another and love for family. But the one thing that'll give us love that is enduring, love that will last, is when we have our faith in Jesus. And when we have our relationship with God made right. Jesus said, the Father has loved me, and so I have loved you. Remain in me. If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments, and remain in my love, and I remain in his love. I've told you these things so that your joy may be with you, and the joy may be complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than to lay down his life for his friends. God wants to give us joy, something that endures, something that lasts. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28 through 30 says, do you not know, have you not heard? The Lord God, the Lord is everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary, increases the power of the weak. Even the youth grow tired and weary. The young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar like on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will not walk and not faint. If we try to do it on ourselves, we will wear down. But in Christ, we can endure. In Christ, we can have peace. We can have hope. We can have joy. Even when life isn't perfect. And I don't know, have anybody noticed that life isn't perfect? Has anybody in here had a perfect life, no problems? Introduce yourself afterwards, because I'd like to. I'm in for a good lie today. Why can I say that? Because I know human beings. I know life. It's not perfect. But here's the thing. The perfect one came so that we could have love, joy, peace, and hope in this life. Even when times when it feels like we have no love. Even when it feels like we have no joy. Even when it feels like we have no hope. And when it feels like there can be no peace. Jesus is there. And because of that relationship, when we look full in his wonderful face, those things can be restored. We can feel those things again. Am I promising that if you commit your life to Christ and you're living for him, everything's going to be perfect, you're never going to have down days? No. No. But I can promise you this. He'll give you the strength to make it through those days. He'll be with you through those hard times. And I have to believe, because this is what I see in Scripture. Jesus wept over those he cared about. And when you weep over people you care about, you weep over circumstances that you can't change because people aren't changing, I believe Jesus weeps with you. He knows that pain. He's been there. And he's walking and willing to walk with you in this life. The Bible never promised it easy, at least not before his coming. Here's the thing, there's coming a day when Jesus comes. When is it going to be? That's above my pay grade. We don't know. Could it be next week, next year, 1,000 years? That's God's to figure out. Our job is to live the best we can right now with what we've got. But he's promising there's coming a day when we'll have a life with perfect peace, with joy, with love. And as I spoke a couple weeks ago, or last week, we won't need hope because Jesus will be our hope. The answer will be there. In the meantime, we can sing even now, joy to the world. Why? Because Christ has come. And guess what? He's coming again. I don't know where you are in your relationship with Jesus Christ, but I commend you. I implore you, surrender your life to Christ. Give your life to him. Make him Lord of your life. He'll forgive you for the bad things you've done in the past, if you're willing to admit it. That's one thing we got to admit. How many realize this? If you're going to fix something, you've got to admit there's a problem. And we have to admit that. We've got to admit it. I got a problem. I need help. I need Jesus. In this holiday season, find the greatest gift in Jesus Christ. Pray and ask him to become Lord. And he'll help you. He'll walk with you. And he'll give you more joy, more peace, more hope, and more love than you could ever know. Dear Father, I ask now that you be with this group. Lord, as we prepare to celebrate this holiday season, Lord, let us have all the joy and the love and the peace and hope that we can have during this holiday season. But Lord, let us never forget you were the one who came to give us all. To give us all this and more. So we praise you and we thank you for it in Jesus' mighty name. So let's stand now and sing together. Joy to the world. And now may the hope, the peace, the joy, and the love of the Lord go with you as you leave this place today. God bless you. Merry Christmas.